Session number 11107.
Mr. Nutter, Reel 2. You mentioned Warminster a moment ago when you were describing the DLI marching pace.
Yes.
Were you at Warminster straight after South Shields?
No, we went to France from South Shields. Straight to France from South Shields.
Perhaps we can turn to that now. When did you first realise that you would be going overseas?
Oh, we were aware all along that we were going across, because we went as a labour battalion, you see. Well, we weren't a fighting battalion, but of course you had to have the basic drills and everything off, hadn't you? You know, when you were called on to fight, you had to be able to.
You mentioned this labour battalion. Did you think that had any effect on the men's morale, that they were not actually going to be involved in fighting so much?
I don't think so. No, I never heard anybody grumble. Because we knew we were going over as a labour battalion, you see. We were building a aerodrome just this side of Arras.
Did you know that before you went over, that that's what you would be doing?
No, we didn't know that actually we'd be doing that, right. But they knew they were a labour battalion.
Could you tell me about the journey out from South Shields?
Well, we went to Southampton. We travelled all day in the train. The stations that we went through were all closed against the civilians, you know. And we got on a ship at Southampton. We had to wait there. More ships coming to join the convoy, you see. And we travelled during the night to Le Havre. That's where we entered France, Le Havre.
You mentioned that when you left South Shields, there was a great send-off.
Yes.
Can you describe that send-off?
Everybody was at the railway station. Of course, lads that... at getting sweethearts there, one thing and another, we're all farewelling and etc. But it was surprising to see it was 2 o'clock in the morning when we left.
Was there any music with bands playing?
No bands. Just it was a high activity, you know, at that time of the morning.
Can you remember what you felt about going at this point?
Well, I wasn't despondent or nothing. No. I think we thought the same as everybody else. It was only going to be a bit of an adventure.
Did you have any specific duties as Batman on this journey?
Just look after, make sure my officer's equipment and everything was there and looked after and say that it was all right.
Did you have to carry that equipment or as well as your own?
Oh, no. They had, like, camp beds and everything, you know, a big pack where they got conveyed on the lorries and that. I just looked after my own packs and...
But were you still with the adjutant, Captain Hutchinson, at this point?
No. He'd left us. And I was with Lieutenant Gill.
Well, what was Lieutenant Gill's job in...
He was the intelligence officer.
Were your... duties for Lieutenant Gill in any way different?
No, just the same. It's a sort of a wallet, isn't it? Really?
Okay, you were at Le Havre. Where did you move on through from there?
We marched to a place called Bolbec. And we were only there about turned a week. And then we went under canvas at Nunc, just this side of St. Paul. We were under canvas there, and the officers were under canvas there. We had a big marquee for the officers' mess. And the lads used to travel every day to the aerodrome at Arras and come back at night.
What did you do during the working day?
Prepare the officers' dinners and that. You know, because under canvas, everything was dirty, it was damp. And They were under canvas and all, make sure his tent and that was aired off, etc.
Did you have a lot of cleaning to do because of the...
Yes, pretty heavy on the shows.
Was it very muddy then?
It was, that being rainy, sir, and it was on grass where we were. And it was such a big place, the lads was under camp, and everything was done with a bugle call, you know. And if you'd done anything wrong, you were put on, like, what they call defaulters. And when they used to, they might want a chap to do a job, you say, a special job. And the bugle used to blow for the defaulters, and they all used to run like Billy or the defaulters, and the last man there got the job. We used to laugh.
And you spent about, I think, 2 weeks at Bulbeck and then 4 weeks at Nunk, is that
yes,
right?
Yes.
Can you tell me what else you did whilst you were at Nunk? You mentioned the work you did. Did you have a lot of free time?
Well, not a great lot, you know, because 7 o'clock was lunchtime, you say, for the officers. So we had to stop and say that they had got their lunchtime and washed up and that. Then we'll get a look out. But of course we could arrange it so somebody could have a couple of hours and we would cover. It's way. Yes.
When would your working day start?
Well, as soon as everybody went.
Which would be what time in the morning?
6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, Rivali.
And what would you have to do at 6 o'clock in the morning?
Well, I'd get myself washed and shaved and go at the coke house and get some tea and take that to the boss, you say, and hot water for his shave. Take him his tea and his hot water. Take his clothes out, you know, to where I was, keep him, and clean his sunbrown and his shoes and everything, and his buttons.
How long would it take you to do all that cleaning?
Oh, not a good long time. Half an hour, while he was getting shaved and washed himself.
And what would you do after that, after you'd presented him with his clean?
Well, there was a work to do in the mess then, you see, prepare for their breakfast.
And what would you be doing there?
Waiting on, taking the, you know, serving. Carrying the grub from the coke house to the officer's mess. It was a big marquee that we had for an officer's mess.
And then would you clear the tables up when they
yes,
finished?
And prepare for the dinner.
Were you responsible for washing up all this stuff as well?
Oh, I had to wash up now, yes. Odd times they might send a defaulter down. Give him a job.
And then, as soon as you finished that, what did you have to do then?
Start to prepare for the lunch.
What would that involve?
Cleaning all the table, washing up, laying it again, while the cooks did the cooking.
Did you have to prepare any of the food yourself?
No, the cooks did there. Yes, the cooks did the cooking.
And then what would you do then? Would you have to serve lunch, or was there anything else you would do before that, normally speaking?
No, not really, no.
What time was lunch?
1 o'clock. We just had to be on hand, you know, they say. But we had to wait on them and all. They didn't do anything themselves. We had to go over the serving dishes and they got out what they needed. Well, it was well organised. But I thought they were there. They thought they were there for a long time, you see, Chris. But I don't suppose there'd have been a big marquee and one thing and all that there was.
And following lunch, what would your duties be then?
Prepare for tea.
Just exactly the same.
Yes, I always had plenty to do.
And then after tea, what would you do?
Well, they only had a little drink of tea, and then they had what they called their dinner at 7 o'clock, so we were preparing for that. Well, it was a full-time job.
And then following tea, you mentioned that it might be possible, following their lunch at 7 o'clock,
yes,
rather, it might be possible to get some recreation.
Oh, yes,
what
yes.
form of recreation did you
well,
have?
Well, I just looked down the town.
This was St. Paul?
Yes, you could go to Arras if you got to put in for permit, you know.
Did you go yourself?
I never went to Arrowsmith. I never had the time, really.
Did you go to St. Paul?
St. Paul, yes.
What sort of things would you do there?
Well, just look round the shops and go in Estamania. And you didn't get supper in the army then. Go and get a snack and wonder if you had the money.
Was there anything else to do?
No. Not really. No.
Did the man go drinking in these estaminets?
Yes, you could get terrible beer, French beer.
Did you go yourself?
Well, I went with friends, like, you know. But I'm not very big drinking man. No. Now I only a couple of lagers and that's it.
Were there any games that were played when you had free time? Were there any sort of things to occupy your time in
they
that
way? They also were boxing, but that was when we was billeted in Bishop Auckland and Shales, but there was none of that when we got to France.
There was no organised games?
No organised games. No.
And what about your relationship with the French civilians? Did they get on well with the...
Only time they were panicked when we were in among the refugees, you know. They said we attracted the dive bombers and put them in danger.
We could come to that a bit later on when you describe what happened in the near future in this story. But at the time, was there good relationships between
the
French?
Yes.
Did you meet any French people personally?
Well, just as I say, down in the village when you went with the... They all spoke to you, you know. They all passed the time of day with you. And then we got friendly with this farmer. It was a big farm, just where we built it.
How did you come to get friendly with the farmer?
Well, he brought some cognac out one day and gave us all a drink of cognac, so... That was it. Who pals after that?
Well, he introduced himself with
the cognac. Yes, it was cognac.
Did you make use of the French as a means of supplying you with stuff for the officers, for example, extra food or services?
No, that was all left. That was left to the cooks, and, you know, all such as that. The supply truck, you know, used to come with the rations.
Okay, can you tell me a little bit about the camp at Nunc? You said it was a tented camp.
Yes, it was a big camp.
How many tents were there? I mean, not in terms of specific numbers, but did it cover a very large area?
Oh, it was huge, yes, because there was the Tyneside Scottish and all them. It was the old brigade, you say, was under canvas. Oh, you could see for tents for miles. It was a big plane. Yes.
So it was the DLI and the Tyneside Scottish.
Oh,
any
it was like the I think it was the 121st Brigade, something like that. I forget now exactly.
I see. What sort of ablution arrangements were made?
They were just a slit trench and a pour over, but there was like a bit of a brattish roll, you know, that's canvas.
That was the latrines. What about the washing facilities?
Oh, yes. There was... The work, you know, the men that was classed as plumbers, they were like ordinary fare and different cold water. There was about 10 in a row and tops, and you just washed and shaved there.
Where was
cold
the
water?
Where did they get the water from? It wasn't piped in, was it?
It was with the... rubber piping, you know. It wasn't dug underneath. No, just rubber piping. From there, probably tapped the French mains. But we're always warned against drinking nearly all the water pump, you know, in the village. We're always warned against drinking that water. They give us tablets to put in.
Were the French locals at all concerned about people using their water supply?
I don't think so.
You didn't come across any instance of that at all, no?
Oh, no. Never saw any hostility at all, but... No.
What was the quality of food like that once you were at Nunk?
Well, we were lucky we were working in officers' mess, like, you know, but I heard that one or two of the lads weren't too happy. They used to see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of you, throw a loaf and half of the bread and a pound of margarine, that's yours. And then you went, we really can't get some tea.
How was the food dished out at the camp? You said there was a cookhouse for the officers. Was that the same for the men as well?
No. There was cookhouses for the men, yes, when they had a dinner, yes. With other males, they might give a couple of loaves of bread, you know, yeah, that's your 26.
So they didn't have hot food very often?
Just when they came back from where they built the aerodrome, there was a good dinner laid on for them. Yes.
And this would be the food that you had, is that correct?
Well, we used to get ours from the officers, must you say. That was a perk.
So did you eat with the men, or did you tend to eat at
the
officers' mess when the officers
went? After the officers went, we ate.
So did you actually, in practice, come in contact with the men who were out working at the RSA?
Oh, yes. Their camp was, we were this side of the road, and their camp was just on the side of the road. It was a proper about a straight mile from Nunk into St. Paul. Dead straight road.
Did you get any impression of the difficulty of the work that they were doing? Did they say anything about what they were doing?
No, they said they were working hard. Yes, I never got across to where they were working. I never had the time.
Can you tell me about the your own accommodation? You said it was a tented camp. Were you sharing a large tent with other men?
Well, we used to keep, there was three of us. You were only allowed 2 blankets, you see. And we used to put our ground shade down. And 1 blanket, and left all the 5 to cover the 3 of us. And there's 3 of us used to sleep together. Well, me being small, I was in the middle. I tell you who one of them was. He played for Charlton. He played in the cup tie, Jack Shreve. He was one of the...
Can you remember anything about him in particular?
Jack. Yes. Only that he played for Charlton in the cup tie. And I wrote and congratulated him. He never answered me blinking letter.
When did he play for Charlton in the cup final, you mean?
Yes.
When did he play for Charlton?
After the war, when Charlton... He played for Spennymoor as a guest player and all while we were stationed at Bishop Auckland.
At that time, had he been a footballer?
Yes, he was playing for Charlton when he was called up. I think he must have been a conscript age, you know. Because he hadn't been in the Terriers with those. He was one of them that was called in.
Were all the people who were acting as batmen put in the same tents?
They kept it together, yes. But where the officer went, you went.
Did you follow your officer around during the day at any time?
No. If you want, you'd send somebody for you, because you knew you were working at the mess, you see.
Can you remember any specific jobs you were given on these occasions when you were sent for?
Well, maybe it's just a run errand for them. Maybe you want to, especially when we were in Bishop Auckland. Often got sent for to go and get them something in the town, you know, the shops.
Now, had there been any sign at all of enemy activity?
Not up till they dropped the parachutes.
Had there been any talk of enemy activity?
No, nobody expected it.
Can you tell me about the enemy action then and your reactions to that?
Well, the first time we were under bombardment was at Abbeville, before we got to Nunk.
Really?
That's the first time we came under, you know, a bomb, dive bombing.
Now was this actually before you, the work on the Arras airfield had started?
Yes, before we got there, yes. It was just an area, do you see?
Were there many casualties?
On the town Abbeville? No, we were in a wood, just outside Abbeville. And of course, all the lads being strange, they were all gaping up, and the officers was going to have to get under cover.
What did you do yourself?
I was like the rest of them, standing gaping. Hadn't a sense.
Do you remember what your reactions were to the air raid?
Well, I don't
the first time you were under fire.
I don't think anybody was frightened then. But when them dive bombers come and them screaming bombs that they used to drop you, weren't you? They used to frighten you.
This stage, well, they weren't dive bombers at this time?
No, it was just ordinary raid.
I see. And then you went from there up to Nunk?
Up to Nunk. Well, I don't know where to Nunk then.
Mm-hmm. And then you stayed there for about a month?
Yes.
And the men worked on the airfield?
Yes.
And then there was the major German offensive, the major German attack.
Parachutes dropped, yes.
Can you tell me about that?
Well, they formed us up in a field, and they put us in different places, you see, and told us which way we're expecting the enemy to come. Well, the only glimpse I had of them, they came out of this wood, and we just fired a shot at you, and they went back, and they must have gone farther up the line. The C Company itself, I was in HQ Company, but C Company itself, they got practically wiped out.
Were you aware of that at the time?
No, not till afterwards.
Can you remember what date this attack took place on?
No, not really, Chris, no.
Can you remember what month?
It was in May.
It was May 1940?
Yes.
Okay, did you actually see the parachutists? You mentioned
them. Yes, I saw them, but they were a distance away, you see. So we got on to transport. We left everything, just got on to transport and off.
What time of day was that then?
About midday. Yes.
And you got on this transport and moved off. Where did you travel to?
We went, pulled into a place called Gondicott, as I told you. I think it was a big postal place. And myself, I think we were really trapped in there.
How long were you at Gondicott for?
About 4 days. And they were giving you letters to write, you know, but when I was going in with tea for the officers, the letters were still all on the blink of the windowsill.
Because your officer, in fact, was responsible for
it. He was the intelligence officer. He did all the censoring of the letters.
So, what opinion did you form? All these
I
letters
got that opinion. I said, well, it's funny, they're getting us the right letters, but they're all still there.
Were you at all concerned that you seemed to be cut off at this point?
No, not really, not. No. And then anyway...
Was there any enemy activity?
No, not at Gondicott. No.
Were the French civilians still there?
There wasn't many, no. No.
Were you billeted there, or...?
No, that was just a place we pulled into, making back to Dunkirk.
Where did you sleep then?
Oh, just anywhere you could.
Did you use
no bed or nothing.
Did you use other people's houses?
A lot of them did, yes.
What did you do personally?
If I could get in the house, I did. You know, there was nobody there. Mind, I tell you another thing. I didn't see any looting. Like, you know, they didn't respect the people's houses. I didn't see any looting in them houses. They were going for a kitten up or something to eat. But I never saw any looting.
Had any warnings been given about that at all? Can you remember the...
No, not... No, I don't think so.
What duties did you do at this time? Did you have any different sort of duties to do?
No, just what cropped up. You know, I attended the officer. It was your main concern.
Okay, you were at Gondicott, and you stayed there for a few days.
Yes.
Then what happened?
Then we got transport, and we rid and rid until we came to a place where all the transport was getting took in a field, and it was all set fire to. And from then it was foot slogging. Everybody was told they were on their own, but if you fell by the roadside, it was just too bad.
How long had you been retreating by this time? Can you recall how long you'd been in the transport for?
Well, we only had the transport 2 or 3 days. After that was walking. I know they tried to keep... We did 57 miles in 2 nights. We did a 37 and a 30. And after that, somebody lost count. They weren't interested. I know all this... All the lorries were stuck into the field because they'd blown the bridges down. You see? And they couldn't get no farther with them. But they didn't lay them in Jerry's hands. They set fire to them.
Did you only travel at night, or did you travel during
the day? We were travelling at night, daytime, but night time if we could, you know, that was the best time to travel.
During the day, what did you do?
Just, oh, well, we also lie up in the wood if we could during daylight. That was the best place.
Was there any difficulty getting supplies on this?
Oh, yes, you only got what you had, you know, what you could pick up.
When you say you only got what you could pick up, how did you go about that?
Well, you maybe just go into the village and get a few raw eggs, and the cows was wanting milk and poor things, and if there was any biscuits, anything left in houses, you know, what you could find.
Were you still in contact with your officer at this time?
No.
What had happened there?
I'll tell you what happened. I got lost from them. Before we got rid of the transport, while the lads was that tired, the last 4 lorries, one of them fallen asleep, nodding over the way, took the wrong turning. And we were the other 3 behind them. And we rid it to ambush at proper range. And the Jerry's was in the houses. It was a great big wide street, just like, have you been to Stockton? It was a great big wide street like that. Well, they were firing at us as we went past in the trucks. And we were firing back in the windows. But anyway, we were with the Welsh Guards for a little while.
When you say you were being fired upon, were you being fired upon from the houses?
From the houses, the Germans was in the houses.
Were there many casualties at this point?
No, luckily there wasn't.
Did you stop to return fire, or did you...
No, I just fired as we went past, out the lorry.
Was the village much damaged by action, or was it...
No, it was in really good, you know, it was all right. There wasn't a great lot of heavy bombardment, you know. But when we make towards Dunkirk, there was a little village... away on the left, and my mate, the one that wouldn't swim out in the pond, he could hear the shells bursting in this village, you know, and he says to me, is that all artillery? And he says, no, I says, it's the Germans. I says, you can hear them coming over your head, which you could, you know, you couldn't see them, but you could hear them. I says, they're coming over your head, it's the Germans. I says, I'll tell you where the next one's coming. When he listened and he heard it, he panicked a little bit. He said, I wish we were out of this.
What were your reactions to being in this action?
Well, the same as everybody else, hoping for the best.
Were you at all concerned you might be taken prisoner?
No, not...